Now, I know some of you take notes. So I'm going to make it very easy on you. You just sang number 435. The first verse is the sermon. Write that down and that's it. It sums it up. How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest rules and parts to keep the conscience clean. I was going to start our lesson in Psalm 119, and I'll get to that in a minute. But we have a young man. Now, young is relative, isn't it? John said he's in his 40s. Where is John? Did he leave? Okay. John led us in prayer. And so I guess he wouldn't qualify for maybe youth, unless you were in Rome. Rome actually went into the 40s. But nevertheless, in Psalm 19, in his prayer, you may remember he prayed about how precious the Word of God is. Very good sentiments. Trust you said amen. And Psalm 19, in verse 10, expresses that very idea. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Gold can do a lot of things. It can buy you clothes and cars, pay bills. It can buy you health care to some degree. And yet he said, there are things that gold cannot do that the Word of God can do. It's more precious than gold. Doug talked about that somewhat in his comments before the Lord's Supper. And that gold can't buy you the blessings of the covenant ratified by the blood of Jesus. But the Word of God can direct you to that. You have your Bibles, open them to Psalm 119. So we just sang this song, How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts and Guard Their Lives from Sin. Psalm 119:9 is not those exact words, but you can see that's the very thought that's on the writer's mind. There are indications that the writer was a young man. Now, when we think of young men, we may think of men like young men like Grant or Neil sitting back there. They are young men. But in the Jewish society, young men may be married men, in fact, up into their 30s. And as I said a while ago, in the Roman society, I've read that they would even consider a young man into his 40s. I know the word young can be applied to young men in their 30s because you have two letters written to a young man. And he's called young, and that's 1 and 2 Timothy. So as we read these verses today, don't just think of the young children in our audience. Think of responsible people before God. The song said it'll guide you in even those who are aged, and it will. But we're focusing on the power of the Word of God in the life of a young person in our study today. And you'll see, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? There's all kind of allurements. There's sexual allurements. There's financial, money allurements. There's allurements to the pride of life. How can a young man keep his way pure? Pure, especially in an ungodly society in which we live, ruled by Satan and his forces. Here you have it in the verse. He said, by keeping it according to your word. And that's the foundation of our study this morning. It's not only for the young people in our audience. It's for the parents who want to train their young men and women to secure that which will carry them all the way through life. It's for the grandparents who may have opportunity to visit with their grandchildren What's the best gift you can give them? This is it. A knowledge, a reverence, an understanding. Teach them how to study and the value of reading the Word of God. And even if you have friends that you want to direct them in the right way, there's no better thing to do than point them to the Word of God. Every verse in this chapter, except for five. And that depends on how you count the words. I know the ladies are studying Psalm 119 on Wednesday, and Linda's made this point in her class. I'm not sure how she divided it up, but here's one way to look at it, and that is, it talks about the Word of God one way or another, mentions the Word of God in either that word or a synonym. I'll illustrate it with the first eight verses. So you got your Bible open? Look at Psalm 119 with me. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. Who are they? Listen. Who walk in the, what? Law of the Lord. Isn't that a synonym for the Word of God that he talks about in verse 9? How blessed, verse 2, are those who observe his what? Testimonies. Synonym. Same idea. The Word of God. God's testimony as to what is right. People have different views. Let's call somebody to testify. We opened our prayer with John, talking about God as the creator of the universe. Is there anybody else better to testify as to what is the right way? Note in verse 3, they do no unrighteousness and walk in his ways. Now, maybe the ladies didn't count this one. I don't know. But the Word of God reveals the ways of God. Walk in his ways. And then, verse 4, you have ordained your what? Precepts. Isn't that the Word of God? A precept, a law. We may not like law, but the Word of God is full of precepts to tell us the boundaries to keep our way pure, verse 9. Verse 5, oh, that my ways would be established to keep your what? Statutes. There it is again. In other words, synonymous idea. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. Over and over again, this writer is focused on the Word of God. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. We don't want God to forsake us. This psalm writer points out the secure way to keep our way pure so he will not forsake us, and that is by the Word of God. I've already pointed out verse 9. He talked about a young man. When you get to verses 98, look at verse 98. There's further indication that the writer was a young writer. I say young. Again, I don't know if that meant in his 30s, 20s, 30s. I don't know. I don't know who the author was. But here in verse 98, the writer said about himself, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. That could be said of people of any age, couldn't it? But note the next verse. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now that might indicate something about age. He had teachers that he had sat at the feet of, but he said, I have something better than all the teachers I've listened to. Your testimonies, to think about them, meditate on them. Now he said, I understand more than the aged. So again, you have a reference to age. And a lot of wisdom comes from age. And sometimes quite a bit of foolishness and mistaken notions. He said, I understand more than they do. Is that boastful? To tell someone who's aged, I can understand, I understand more than you do. Not in a boastful way, but in a confident faith that I have a source to guide me that's better than living 50, 60, 70, 90 years. I understand more than the aged because I've observed your precepts. So you don't have to wait till you're 50, 60, 80 to have wisdom, to make the right choices in life. God's Word provides that. Family is so important in guiding the steps of young people. A solid, godly father and mother, a good family, you can't put a price on it. But that in and of itself is not the way for a young person to keep their way pure. Young people with good families who went astray, giving themselves over to the flesh, left the knowledge of God, pursued wealth and power. Families are good. They're very important. And one of the most important things a family can do is emphasize, let's read the Bible together and study the Bible together. But genetics won't do it. I can, and you can, point out. I can do it right now just looking at this audience. Point out that there are people in this audience and people you know that are not in this audience that are some of the most godly and knowledgeable people you know who certainly didn't get it from their family. In fact, had to leave the family ties and what they'd been taught and seen. So don't just think being in a good family is going to make your child pursue the right way. That's not the case. Friends. Friends are important because of the influence they have, because of where you go together, because of the language they use. I want my children to have good friends. That's good. That's important. But that's not going to make them walk in the way of purity that he talks about here in Psalm 119:9. It's good to have good friends. And parents ought to be attentive to who your children's friends are. You get old, you're out of the home. You need to be attentive to who your friends are. But that's not the answer to walk in the pure way. Education. I'm thankful for the education I have. I don't have the education many of you have in this audience. But I'm thankful I can read and write. What a wonderful blessing that I don't have to depend on somebody to read it to me. I can read it for myself. But having an education, a degree, a master's degree, a PhD degree, will not make you walk in the right way. In fact, it can be a danger because of pride. Sports. Since the time I was a boy, young man, high school, I heard about the benefit of boys playing sports, how it would help make them good young men. We had boys in our high school who got in fights, sometimes using brass knuckles, who got drunk, who were promiscuous sexually, and a bunch of them were on the football team. Don't tell me sports make good boys. There might be good boys on the sports team. But sports not going to make good boys and good girls. Psalm 119:9 says, by keeping the word of God, that'll make their way pure. And I just put et cetera. You might think of other things that people think. You love your children. Or if you're outside the home, you love your own life and you want a good life for you and your family. What's the answer? By keeping your life according to the Word of God. Since we're in Psalm 119, go back to that verse 9. By keeping it according to His Word. Look at verse 11. You could go through the entire Psalm getting these kinds of admonitions. I have treasured Your Word, I have treasured in my heart. How many verses do you know by memory? Or at least the idea in the verse. Do you carry them around with you? When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at play, when you travel, maybe you don't have your Bible with you. Your Word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against You. Bury that treasure in your heart. Look at verse 42. Verse 42. So I will have answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in Your Word. And I've already read verse 98 through 100. So look at Psalm 119, 104. From Your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I chose these verses arbitrarily. You might choose a different selection of verses. There's plenty to choose from in this Psalm. But one thing you'll have to admit, it keeps shining the spotlight on the Word of God. That's the answer for whatever age that we are. So, we've done these first 8 verses. Now let's go back and look at practical circumstances where the Word of God can be valued. A value that he refers to right here in this psalm. Situations that you may face at school. For example, being ridiculed. Ridicule for your faith. Ridicule because you won't participate in the things others do. Maybe at work. No, I don't gamble. Or I don't drink. Let's go to the bar tonight. No, I don't drink. Or whatever it may be. Maybe ridicule. College, that's certainly a danger. And may just be the friends you hang with. Yeah, so look at Psalm 119, and let's look at verse 22. Take away a reproach and contempt from me. Why? What lifts you up? What gives you confidence? For I observe Your testimonies. If you treasure those, like we prayed a while ago, what people say don't make a lot of difference. Is what God's Word says. What they say may hurt you. And Michael referenced to that in our Bible class. Paul talked about the reproaches he suffered. But he didn't give up because he had confidence in God's Word. Verse 23, even though princes sit and talk against me. See, I don't know any princes. No, you may not know princes. You may know the captain of your sports team. You may know the president of your school or your fraternity in college. You may know the CEO of your company. And all of these may ridicule you. But he said, though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on what? On your statutes. In verse 51, the arrogant. Oh, you're going to run against arrogant people. In school, at work, at college, among your friends, the arrogant utterly deride me. And they will. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. Look at verse 69. The arrogant have forged a lie against me, and they will lie against you. You try to live a right life, no telling what they'll call you. They'll say you think you're better than they are. That you're the one that's full of pride. That you're narrow-minded and bigoted. He said here in this verse that they may do those kind of things, but with all my heart I'll observe your precepts. That word's treasured there. And that buried treasure is what guides man or woman of any age. In verse 70, their heart is covered with fat. We don't talk about that way very much today. But the idea was somebody who's calloused in heart, who won't listen. You try to talk to people, they just won't listen. They don't care. Don't talk to me about the Bible. He said here in verse 70, their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. I put Isaiah there so you can go compare it later if you want to as a reference. It's the idea of a heart covered with fat. And it's used over in the New Testament that when the gospel was preached, people just wouldn't listen. It never reached their heart. Yeah, you're going to be around people that way. They don't see it the way you do. And it may be like Paul talked about in the Bible class, as Michael pointed out. They're perplexed. You are perplexed by their blindness. But God's word is your source of refuge. Over in the Ephesian letter in chapter 4, here are people who came out of the world. It wasn't their families that made them what they were today, that made them go to church in Ephesus, that made them sing like he talked about in Ephesians 5 and pray. It wasn't their school or college or education or money. He said Paul went to Ephesus and preached the word of God and spent 3.5 years there. About 3 years there. And he's writing now these people. They meet together as a church in the city of Ephesus. Look at verse 17 of chapter 4. They've made a big change. And involved in this change to make Christ their king, there had to be a change of life. And he's writing about the necessity of this change of life. But they still live in Ephesus. And all that's involved in a wicked city like that. Look, verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. Now, you and I are Gentiles. But that term was used of people of the world who are sinful and do not serve God. It was used with that connotation. As the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. But he gives another cause in association with ignorance. Listen, because of the hardness of their heart. You're going to find people that don't want you to talk about the Bible. Don't quote the Bible to me. I'm not interested. Well, you do. Go back and read it. Let it strengthen your faith. Read verses like this. It's nothing new for you to live in a society like Houston, Texas, or Humble, Texas, and face those kind of things. What's your refuge? What's your guide? The Word of God. Psalm 119, 113. So look here at verse 113. He said, I hate those who are double-minded. But I love your law. Double-minded. Can't make up their mind. Indecision. I don't know. I know the Bible. Maybe my parents or a lot of people I know love it. And I know it's a good book, but I'm not sure it's, from heaven. God's Word. Indecision. Maybe not outright skeptics, but indecision. Doubt. Over in Joshua made a challenge. You talk about being perplexed and to the point of despair. Joshua was a remarkable man. By his faith and courage, he led the people into the land of Canaan, conquered the nations. And yet, in spite of all of that, he knew. In spite of all that they had seen, all they experienced, he knew that there were some that were still clinging to their idolatrous ideas and practices. Here toward the end of his life, he makes this great speech to his nation. You'll note he says down in verse 14, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. You mean to tell me people whose fathers and grandfathers had seen the plagues of the Exodus would still have idols? Yes. You mean people that had crossed the Red Sea on dry land that they still have gods? Yes. And all the other things that had happened. But they still pretended to be Israelites and servants of the true God. Indecision, skepticism. Make a decision. Who are you going to serve, Joshua says. And you'll know what he says. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose. Choose for yourself today who you will serve. Make up your mind. Whether the God which your father served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But he said, now we talked about the importance of family. Listen to this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't have to wonder, make a decision. By this time he's an older man. I know who I'm going to serve. It's interesting in 1 Kings. There's an old prophet you read about in 1 Kings. Remarkable man. I often ask God to help me be like this man. He's not a man a lot of people liked. He was bold. He was courageous. He lived at a very, very wicked time. He got discouraged, by the way. But in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, he's here in front of the king and all of his prophets. And he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Look at those last sentence. But they did not answer him a word. What? You can't just stand up and say, I'll follow God. Well, I got all these other prophets. Got the king here. He's pretty wicked. Might lose my head. Stand up and follow whoever you're going to follow, Elijah said. Make a decision. And when you read the Word of God and you see the evidences for its truth, the evidences of the Creator, and now with the New Testament, the evidences of His love in Christ Jesus, it'll give you that courage to make a decision. You know, sometimes youth are going to face trouble right in the church. Timothy was a young man. He was warned about that very thing. Look over at 2 Timothy. So here we are. You know what I have? Chapter 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lust. Which again, it puts Timothy in a category of youthful. How old was he at this time? Based on the chronology in Acts, possibly late 30s, 35 to 40, somewhere in that area. Can't be certain. But note in chapter 3, verse 1, what he told him. He'd been left in Ephesus to preach the gospel there. Or as we know, he didn't have a wife, wasn't married. Well, we don't have any record of it. So here's a young man that worked with Paul, traveled with him, saw the miracles, heard his teaching, saw his life. Look at verse 1. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Sometimes when people read the Bible and they see the word last days, they think of 2030 or 2050. Something way down the line. No. Oftentimes, last day has no reference to that at all. There's another kind of last days in the time this New Testament was written. It was the last days of the Jewish dispensation. Paul wrote this letter when he was in a Roman prison. He would not get out alive. Could have been written around 68, 69, we're not sure. In 70, Jerusalem would fall. But Jesus had already warned that things would get bad before that happened in his sermon recorded in Matthew 24. And now Paul is telling Titus, in the last days, difficult times will come. He's not talking about over in some other country. You'll see he's talking about right there the church where you're preaching, Titus. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look, you say, oh, that's the people who never talk about God. No, look at the next verse. Holding a form of godliness. You go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to church in Ephesus. Though they've denied its power. What he said, avoid such men as these. We use another word, withdraw from them. Well, go on down to verse 10. Paul went on to talk about various people like he had just described that Moses even had to deal with. But he said in verse 10, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. What's the next two words? Persecutions, sufferings. You know what's happened to me. You know where I'm at right now. I'm going to die here. You want to follow my steps? You want to do the kind of work I did? He said, such has happened to me at Antioch. Remember Iconium? Remember Lystra where he was stoned? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. What do? You, however, continue in the thing you have learned and become convinced of. Knowing of whom you've learned them from, and I don't think he's talking about his mother and grandmother, but the prophets and this apostle. He said, verse 15, from childhood you've known what? The sacred writings. He had a mother and a grandmother that read the Word of God to him, I guess when he's old enough to listen. Instilled the Word of God in him. And evidently he had no father who was a believer. But it's that Word of God in his heart, treasured in his heart, that made this young man a man that when he was about 18 or 20, Paul said, I want that young man to go with me. He said, from childhood you've known the sacred writing which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then that verse you can quote by heart probably. All scripture is inspired by God. And he tells the four things it's good for. Your version may say doctrine. This one says teaching. What am I to believe? What am I to teach? This is it. You're called upon to teach a class. So what am I going to teach? Do you have a Bible? Teach that. For reproof, to show you where you're wrong. Well, how did I get right? For correction. But I need to gain strength and energy for training in righteousness. So, Timothy, what you're going to do when you face all of these problems, wherever you face them, that the man of God, that's the preacher of the word in this case, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Here you got it, Timothy. It's the Word of God. Let me quickly mention this. I'm running out of time. Why don't people apply it? Why don't people practice it? Why don't they read? We've got all kinds of excuses, whether you're young or whether you're older. Well, I intend to. I really do. I just don't. I just let other things get in the way. I don't like to read. And a lot of people in society just like that. I don't like to read. I don't have time. Man, you don't realize that I've got to take care of the house, the garden. I got to go to work. I got to get ready for work. I got to drive to work. I've got school. If I'm in school or college, I've got lessons. I just don't have time to sit down and read the Bible. And, you know, there's so much I don't understand. Well, the more you read the Bible, the more you realize you don't understand a lot. But you can understand the glory of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, and His plan for the redemption of man. Here's the real reasons. One, we're lazy. I don't have time to read Proverbs 6. You're familiar with that story about the ant. He prepares ahead of time. But a lot of people are lazy. They don't prepare ahead of time. I've tried to study with people. For example, I had a relative, a niece, was studying with her about marriage and divorce. Nah, I didn't. Later, she got in trouble in her about the family, I guess. Later, she got in trouble. Called me. She wanted me to give her a 10-minute lesson on the phone that would solve her problems. There's no such pill. You can't do it. And so, what you do, you start storing up, filling your heart with the Word of God, so when those times come, you're ready. Faith. Show me your faith without your works, James said. Show it to me. You can't. And so, many times, you say, oh, you, this the Word of God? I guess if I went down the row, every person in this room would say, yes! Is it sufficient for everything you need to know as far as your soul and life and eternity? Does it have power to cleanse and guide the human heart? Yes! Prove it. James says, show me your faith without your works. You can't prove it. It's just words. And then sometimes people like this rulers. Someday. When I have a convenient time, he said. Someday. And someday never comes. And you meet God in judgment. So, we'll conclude our lesson. There's an exhortation to young people to use your youth. Because you're going to get old. But the Ecclesiastes writer said, there's one thing that all men are going to face. Coming before the judgment bar of God to give account for every deed. Parents, train your children. How are you going to train them? And then parents and young people. Back to Psalm 119. I'll just close by reading those four verses. And then we'll sing the song that Joshua selected. Let's read the first four verses of Psalm 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Now, I think the song Josh has selected is it Faith is the Victory? This lesson will do no good without faith. Faith is the victory. To believe what we've read. The same is true as victory over sin. You have sin, and we all sin. But you have not come to the blood of Christ through obedience and confession, repentance, confession, and baptism. You're still in your sins. It's the faith that motivates you to obey that'll give you the victory. Let's think about that as together we stand and as we sing.